Mini episode 1622 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1622. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with one of our favorite FDH Lounge dignitaries, who is also author and Sportsology proprietor, Russ Cohen, our good pal. One of the many things we do with him every year is our 2023 Stanley Cup Final preview. We did a preview of the entire playoffs a couple of weeks back. You can check that out, and I will look to hook up with Russ again for the final review once this is done. But a very interesting Stanley Cup final coming up here. One that I dare say almost nobody had on their bingo card at the outset of the tournament here. But that's the way that it ended up playing out. And an all Sunbelt Stanley Cup final. And furthermore, for the league, you had a couple of different elements in here. The fact that it is going to be all on cable with TNT, albeit so happy that five-time FDH Lounge guest Kenny Albert on the call, deservedly so. The draw of the teams being on cable, there are some things that may kind of hold down the ratings here a bit, particularly in comparison to last year, which was a very star-studded affair. And this year, again, you get a little bit more of the unpredictability of sport. It's the Golden Knights and the Panthers in the final, and who better to break it down with than our good pal, Russ Cohen. Russ, good to have you on, buddy. This is not the final that any of us expected at the outset, but it's going to be a lot of fun to anticipate.
I agree. Yeah, thanks, Rick. We all make our picks beginning of the year. Mine didn't hold up long enough, but I did get on the bandwagon kind of early with Florida, not really with Vegas. I saw something in Florida, so at least like in the Sirius XM pool, I'm like 7-14. So I still have a chance. It's a decent amount of points if I get the cup right and the Conn Smythe right. So I'm hopeful. But, you know, other than that, I'm not too bad.
Okay. Yeah, I think my picks are underwater. This is about the worst I've ever done. And it's one of those things where it's so funny with and Florida being, you know, the underdog team coming out of the East, at least in terms of their point total and the way that they, in some ways, kind of underachieved during the regular season. But I'm drawn to what you said about Vegas because I feel the same way. And Vegas was a team that actually led the Western Conference in points. And yet, in my mind, I had, in whatever order, Colorado, Edmonton, Dallas ahead of them. But Vegas is a team, they do it with depth, they do it, and it's so funny to me because you talk about a team taking on the image of the city. This is the furthest divergence from that I've ever seen. Like, this Golden Knights team, they're like wallpaper. I mean, they had an excellent regular season. They're not the team necessarily that you or I expected to make it through because of the star power and the flashiness of some of these other teams. Right. But for the second time since 2018, here they are, back in the Cup Final.
Yeah, they do have more stars than they did before, but yes, they're really a hardworking team. That's for sure. I think, you know, a lot of my hesitancy was in the net because I like Logan Thompson, and he just, you know, after that one game where he came back, we never saw him again. So clearly he must have really hurt his groin or something bad like that. So that was it. Jonathan Quick got a game or so, and then they were never to see him again. So it's Aiden Hill. And so I'm honest, I was not on the Aiden Hill train, and, it took a little while for me to get some confidence in him, but I have more confidence in Aiden Hill today, or at least the Knights today, than I did at the start of the playoffs.
Well, sure. And then on the other side here, you've got a Florida team that was, you know, pretty brutal in net for most of the year. Let's just be perfectly honest here. Regardless of who it was, the numbers really weren't that great.
I'd say for half the season.
Yeah.
It started to pick up.
I guess, yeah. I mean, you know, Alex Lyon's numbers are, you know, a little bit more respectable anyways, but this is just a very interesting thing You don't often see something like this, particularly in net. But Sergei Bobrovsky, who was somebody who has been, let's face it, a disappointment on that contract most of the time since he's been there, channeling, being one of, I think he was one of the best goaltenders of the 2010s, really channeling his old self this spring here and coming back in a way that nobody could have anticipated.
Right. I mean, we're seeing this in the Bob, as I like to call him. And look, I got to know him a lot in Philly as a rookie and all throughout. And I knew the person who helped translate him. So I used to get some instant information. And so I've always kept an eye on him. And yeah, I felt like last couple of years was a little disappointing for sure. But this year was different because once Spencer Knight had to leave the team for whatever reason that he's still dealing with, I saw a change in Bob. I was like, you know, when Bob is at his best is when, you know, the team has no other option but to keep going with him. And then he usually gets it together, and he did. And then he got sick, and that's when Alex Lyon came in, and that's when things started to change. And it's like, you know, because Bob was doing okay until he got sick, and then Lyon came in and kept it going. And that was the thing that, you know, maybe none of us expected to happen, was to keep it going. And then, of course, eventually Bob comes back in, and then you're like, you know, this team could make the playoffs. And, you know, thanks to the Pittsburgh Penguins, they made the playoffs. So that's the way sports is sometimes. And that's what's great about sports, is that you can have these kinds of things happen, and you and I can be completely wrong, and I bet the Bruins. But then after that, I never wavered from the Panthers because I saw something, and I was like, okay, I see it now. But they had to prove it to me. They had to beat, you know, the Bruins, and they did.
Yeah, and they came back from down 3-1, and it's one of these things where, again, yeah, based on the history that I'm about to indicate here, Boston fans should feel optimistic going into next year, although I think with the aging curve of that team, they shouldn't feel optimistic regardless of what I'm about to say. But President's Trophy winner coming back and doing it the year after a very disappointing playoff loss. Of course, Bob's a guy that is very popular in my home state of Ohio, a very beloved player for many years with the Blue Jackets. And it's a thing where you go back to 2019, definitely the highlight of his run there was taking out Tampa Bay, the prohibitive favorite in round one, in a sweep. Tampa Bay bounces back to win the Stanley Cup the next year. That was compared in many quarters to what happened with my Red Wings in 96 and in 97, having the historically great regular season in 96, couldn't get past Colorado, won it the next year. So Florida, while what happened to them last year, it wasn't a disappointment on the level of the other two teams, but it was still a thing where it was a President's Trophy team that gagged, and it really went over poorly as far as with the fan base and everything like that. Sour taste in their mouth. You look at the history of it, and Detroit and Tampa Bay coming back to win the next year. That's one of those things, if you're just looking for one of these factors here. Motivation has to be a strong part of what has carried Florida to this point, the disappointment of last spring and summer. And again, the other two teams I just alluded to in this situation went on to get the job done in the final.
Right. And yeah, those are good numbers and things to look at. It's a different world to this year. Okay. I just feel it. You know, we have two teams that, you know, one of them is going to win it for the first time, right?
Yep.
You got one team that has never really experienced the down season. Yeah, they didn't make the playoffs last year, Vegas, but they've been acting like a team that's been around for 20 years, and they haven't been around 20 years. So
right,
they've had tons of success, though, for their entire existence. And, you know, at some point it's going to go south. Like, it's just, that's the way sports is. But right now it's not. So they're in it. They're back in it for the second time, which, again, there's teams that have been around for many, many years that haven't been in it two times in the same decade, right?
Just, yeah.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah.
For some teams. For most teams, really, and when you think about it. So you take that into account, and then, you know that law of averages, someone's got to win, someone's got to lose. But we don't know really how it's going to happen. Vegas, I believe, has more Stanley Cup veterans on their team, but that still doesn't mean that they're going to win. I mean, Matthew Tkachuk has been scoring game winner after game winner after game winner. But I think the great equalizer to start the series is this time off. It's not good for Florida. I don't care. You can't convince me it's good for them.
Right. I think, yeah, their fine line between rest and rust as I was saying with Ben Chu when we were doing our NBA Finals preview, that Denver's going to be dealing with that. Then again, Denver gets to play at home in altitude, which is entirely different than the situation that Florida is in. Yeah. So
that's a neutralizer, possibly.
It is. And I think it's a big, big neutralizer. And in that instance, it's Miami coming in on no rest and in a disadvantaged situation. I will say again, just what a great spring and early summer it is down in South Florida here between those two teams. Both of them underdog teams. I understand that Florida would have been, they don't really do the 1-8 seeding in the NHL anymore, but of course they would have been the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference had that been the case. Miami coming from being a play-in team. So the unlikelihood here, and it's interesting too, Matthew Tkachuk, who you mentioned, this is a thing where, again, every summer I go through and I do the rankings of it, and some summers you and I get around to doing an analysis of my rankings. Hopefully this is a summer we can do this, of the best players in the league at a given time. And it's so funny because both Jimmy Butler and Matthew Tkachuk have probably locked in being number 5 on the respective lists, number 5 exactly in my estimation, based on how they've gone here. Tkachuk a little bit less of a surprise because of his regular season. Butler, there's a reason that they talk about playoff Jimmy, because he's really, really good in the regular season. He's great in the playoffs. Tkachuk is just great all the time. He's the best player in this series, and that's not always the destiny here, but you look at it a lot of times in the last decade, you know, you had Crosby on two occasions. You had, I'd say, Kucherov and Vasilevsky were the best players in the series, clearly, although Tampa Bay was playing decided underdogs in both series, so I don't know how much that comes into play. But the whole thing of, like, who's got the biggest superstar in the last decade, sometimes that has been determinative of who wins. Certainly, I'd rather be the coach that has the biggest superstar in the series, and it is Tkachuk. Now, listen, they might ban me from any casinos in Vegas for saying this, or I might get dragged into a back room and forced to swallow a poker chip. But I might actually take Alexander Barkov over Jack Eichel for, like, the number 2 player. And he's not saying I'd say that.
Stop. Now that's heresy.
Is that heresy? Okay. I mean, yeah, that's okay. Heresy. I'm a Barkov guy, though. But I mean,
I like Barkov a lot. But yeah. That's a bridge too far.
Okay. That's a bridge too far for you. All right. I respect your opinion. Maybe I'll back off of that. But it is a thing where you look at it, and the star power at the top for Florida, but they're going to be going up against a team that has just tremendous depth through all of their lines in Vegas, and it makes an interesting contrast in that sense.
Yeah, the Vegas center depth is great, too, and Chandler Stephenson, like he's been so much better with Vegas than he was with, like, Washington. Like, it's crazy how good he's been.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's, you know, that they can match him. I mean, now that they have an Eichel. They really can match him. And Brett Howden, who was a draft pick at Tampa, then went to the Rangers. And, you know, he's blossomed a bit, too. And then you got Carlson, who, again, has 10 goals, but really, I think, is superior defensively, like, as a shutdown guy. So there's a lot there. The thing about Vegas is I think they're more committed to playing ugly hockey than even Florida. Florida has done it because it's been necessary to do it to get far, but I think Vegas understands how to do it and really can grind you down. I don't think Florida can grind you down. Like, Florida will do it for a little while, and then if they're up a goal, they'll still try and outscore you. With Vegas, they just pummeled Dallas. You know, I knew mentally Dallas would fight back and win a couple games until Ben was back. I knew it. And then I turned on Dallas and just said, you know, human nature tells me that they're going to lose this next game when Ben's back, because they clawed up the mountain, but they just didn't have enough, and they just, you know, they got destroyed, right?
Yeah.
That game was I was able to book my room and flight 15 minutes, not even, 10 minutes into the first period, which I was grateful for.
Worked out good for you on that one. I am so happy for you getting to see the start of the series out there, because I said to you off air at the beginning when I asked you if you were going to be going to any games, and I said, you can't lose going to either place, especially this time of year. But yeah, I am happy for you. I'll be looking for you in the crowd. And
I've been to Sunrise a couple of times.
Yeah.
Had never been to the new arena in Vegas, so that was another reason, too.
Okay.
But also scheduling. There's a whole host of reasons. I've got all kinds of stuff going on.
Well, that is tremendous. And one of the things that I always like to do in any kind of championship preview here if I can find some kind of angle to this that I don't hear anybody else talking about. Sometimes it'll be the sports
history. An angle or a gimmick?
An angle? Well, you know, with me, Russ, it's always a fine line, right? One man's angle is another man's gimmick. And sometimes it's a history between the cities, but there is not a long history between Miami and Las Vegas when it comes to professional sports. Shocking, I know. But this is more of a conventional one than I usually find. This is a very conventional question, but I don't hear anybody talking about it. And that being, with Matthew Tkachuk, familiarity, because it's his first year since coming over from where? Calgary. Divisional rival, if you want to call them rivals, of Vegas. So he's played against them a lot over the years. They've played against him a lot over the years. Talk about it from that perspective of Vegas being very, very familiar firsthand with Florida's best player and him being very familiar with how they play hockey.
Yeah, first thing is, Bruce Cassidy talked about it when he was coaching the Bruins. They played Florida a lot.
Okay.
So that's, you think about that, and Cassidy's always very honest. So that's something where I feel like that's where he could help his team.
Okay.
And yeah, Tkachuk the other way is definitely helping his team. But I feel like the coach is kind of more important than the player on this one. I feel like with what Cassidy, you know, knows, and what he's been able to do. And look, he's come a long way. Mm-hmm. You got to remember when he was the coach of the Capitals and Jaromir Jagr was there, things didn't go well. Like that was not a, and I didn't know what Bruce Cassidy would be like after that, but he's really been tremendous. I mean, I don't know if you remember the Washington Capitals, Jaromir Jagr.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't very motivated.
Yeah. Yeah. That is true. And, but a lot of these guys, you know, it just, They move on to another stop and they end up really kind of getting it going. And again, a coach, you know, who's both coaches have been to the final previously. And, you know, they both have that experience. So both franchises 0-1 in the finals. Both coaches 0-1 in the finals. And so, again, one coach.
Somebody has to win. Like, that's the way that's the law here.
Well, exactly. And for Florida, it was a long time ago. Although it's funny because I don't think it was this season, but it might have been the season before where I remember in one of these years, I actually picked Florida before the beginning of the season to make the final. So sometimes I'm a year ahead on some of these teams or so. And
oh, no, I did that too. And then, took it on the chin.
So
not to win it all, but I think to at least be in the conference finals, maybe come out of the East. But again, you know, don't start talking about Florida from another century. I mean, that's
right. I mean, and Breezebrook is not going to be in net here.
No.
You know, here, you may still be getting some plastic rats thrown on the ice, but,
yeah, you know, that's fine. Whatever.
That's, you know,
that's a gimmick.
You'll have some things hearkening back to that, but, all right. So what I want to do as far as looking at numbers here, I've got, this is on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com. You can find it there. Click on it. The 2023 FDH NHL end of regular season breakdown with our statistical index here between the teams. So, I mean, you look at, as far as how they squared out among all 32 teams in the league, Vegas ranked 11th, Florida ranked 15th. So here's where they were in the individual categories. In our final FDH power rankings, we had Vegas 9th, Florida 14th. In SRS, Vegas 9th, Florida 13th. Power play percentage, Vegas 18th, Florida 10th. Penalty kill percentage, Vegas 20th, Florida 25th. The Fenwick 4 percentage, Vegas 20th, Florida 5th. Pretty good there. Shot percentage, Vegas 13th, Florida 21st. That's kind of surprising. Save percentage, Vegas 7th, Florida 18th. GS, you got Vegas at 13th and Florida 3rd. And very interesting variance between that and the shot percentage, by the way. The GA, you've got Vegas 11th and Florida 23rd. Less surprising because of what the save percentage was. So when you look at that, and like I said, you know, the goals scored and the shot percentage, a gap there for Florida. Clearly, I think we can see that the goals scored was more indicative of the team Florida really was. But this is a thing where when you look at these teams, this is a lot like, again, the Miami Heat, where you throw out a lot of the regular season numbers because they don't apply here. Some of these regular season numbers clearly do. Of the ones that I read off there, which are the ones that kind of jump out the most at you in terms of the team's strengths and weaknesses?
The goals against is a good one, because I think it's less Aiden Hill in that and more Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Because Aiden Hill's more lately, right? So he couldn't have affected it as much.
Sure.
And then I forget, what was the first one you said?
Well, after the FDH power rankings, it was the SRS, which, you know, that's basically an overall kind of, you know, statistical ranking index. It actually tracked out pretty close to what our power rankings were, which is interesting because I made out the power rankings without looking at it. Vegas was ninth in both of those, Florida 14th in our power rankings, 13th in SRS. So
yeah, and that was a good indicator, I think, of maybe where Vegas is and why they, you know, will get favored in Vegas. Like, right, they're going to be the favorite.
Sure.
And they have home ice, right? So there's that, too. And I do think they have good home ice because their fans have never really booed them. Like, they don't get booed.
Right.
So they really do get a charge out of home ice. This isn't like, you know, the Rangers or the Islanders where occasionally they're going to boo their fan, boo their players. No, these players never get booed.
Well, and it's a thing where, and I was reading about this a couple of years ago when they first came into the league, like they've got that practice arena, I think, in Henderson. And I don't know if this is still the case, but it's a thing where this team is so beloved by the locals. I mean, everybody thinks about Vegas and they think of like the tourists going to watch the games, but Vegas has built a pretty sizable population over the last 20 years. The locals matter. The locals matter a lot when it comes to this kind of stuff. Clearly the suites, those are going to be dominated by the casinos and the high rollers and everything like that. But at least the upper bowl and maybe a certain part of the lower bowl, that's going to be locals. And I remember that these locals would go to the practices in Henderson. And I think it was free admission.
There's still quite a few that go, I hear.
Okay, yeah. And it's like, it's free admission, but they sell merch there. And apparently the merch, right, you know, moves pretty good. These people, they'll get their coffee and donuts and go watch the players skate. I mean, they love this team. I've had some people say to me, oh, well, you know, is it as much since the Raiders got there and everything? Like, no, don't kid yourself. They were the first ones there, and that matters in a market.
They're the number one team in that market.
Yes, they planted the flag. And by the way, you were saying before, second time in the 6 years they've been in the league making it to the final. Let's not forget. So they've made it to the final a third of the time they've been in the league. They've made it as far as the conference finals half the time they've been in the league. Three of six. They made it to the conference final, I believe, in 2020 against Dallas, which...
Yeah.
That's one of the odd things this year. In the NBA and the NHL, three of the four conference finals were rematches from the bubble. So everybody that said the bubbles were so fluky in both leagues that year, I guess can go choke on that because you got rematches then.
They were fluky. See, here's the dividing line on that.
Okay.
They weren't fluky with how they ended up.
Okay.
They were fluky with some of the entrants.
Okay.
It was kind of like some of the entrants were kind of like when Vince McMahon would invite back two or three people to the Royal Rumble, and you knew they would get, like, these primo spots in the Royal Rumble, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, the Islanders limped in to the bubble.
Okay.
There were teams that were just not going to make the playoffs that made the bubble.
Right.
Like, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. That part of it. But and in the NBA, there was also Boston and Miami last year. So three of the last 4 years, it's been Boston and Miami in the NBA in the East. So for everybody that thought it was so fluky in both leagues, yeah, there might have been elements, like you said, flukiness, but it's just jarring that you get the bubble and non-bubble matchups happening, you know, within a couple of years here. This is the thing where, I mean, I look at this and I talked about it before, some of the disadvantages that the league is going to have in terms of the ratings and everything like that being built in. And you're coming off of a thing where It seems like it's, and by the way, I regard this as no less exciting. I'm going to be watching all of the games. I don't mean to be implying that I personally am not going to, but a thing as far as like getting the average person to watch, when it was so star-studded last year, you rarely get a thing in any of the big four sports where you sit there and you go, yeah, that's definitely the best two teams in the league. You had that last year. You probably have to go, I think we said last year, you'd probably have to go back to the Detroit-Pittsburgh matchups in 08-09 for that to have been the case.
Yep.
And in the NBA, it happened with all four of the times my Cavs played the hated Warriors. You knew you had the two best teams in the league. It doesn't come along very often. You had that last year. You have it this year where you say, I think I can confidently say these are two of the top eight teams in the league. And that's a big difference, Russ. It's one end of the spectrum to the other.
It is. And I do think it's a big difference. And look, I'm never going to say that these aren't the best teams. You know, they're the best teams for a reason. You got to really overcome a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a lot of adversity. And so these are the best teams. The Boston Bruins were the best regular season team. That's great. They got their trophy for that, but they couldn't back it up. So will anybody remember that? Maybe because it was a record setter. Otherwise, would they care? No.
Well, also, too, and as our good friend FDH Lounge dignitary Steve Callis has pointed out, he loves to jump on.
I've never heard of this guy.
good old Callis. As he points out, he loves to do these statistical nitpicks. But he's always right when he does, by the way. It's point inflation because the Montreal Canadiens from back in the day, I think he said 76-77, but one of those teams, they had Boston beat if you take out the overtime losses. So he's 100% right that, you know, Boston in the modern era, it's kind of like Roman Reigns is the modern era longest reigning champion.
Please don't start, my God.
Boston is the Roman Reigns of the NHL, essentially.
Yeah, Bruno Sammartino lives on forever. screw Roman Reigns and that whole
Fakata
run of his.
Well, you just described how I feel about all Boston teams, so that makes it kind of fitting. But, you know, as we look at this here, the matchup of these teams, there's a lot of things that point to, I think, Florida being potentially a team of destiny. As I said, I think they have the best player. I know they have the best player and by a decent margin. I think that is determinative a decent amount of time, I should have said. I am going to read something here. I want to refer everybody to Austin Nivison from CBS Sports. This was a great article that I'm excerpting from when he was looking back at the Eastern Conference Finals. And he was getting into the advanced statistics. I'm going to quote him here. Quote, to make matters even more devastating for Carolina, it played a relatively strong game at 5-on-5. The Hurricanes generated more expected goals than the Panthers in all four games, and Game 3 was especially disheartening. In that Game 3, a 1-0 loss for the Canes, they generated 2.62 expected goals at 5-on-5 per natural stat trick. The Panthers, on the other hand, generated 0.75 expected goals. Through the entirety of the series, the Hurricanes created more expected goals scoring chances and high danger scoring chances than the Panthers. End quote. So I look at that and I say, you would reasonably expect that Carolina, through four games of the series, I'm not saying sweep the other way, but I think it would have been reasonable to look at that and thought they would have been up 3-1. And instead they got swept. And I am, above all, on a lot of things here, a huge believer in regression to the mean, progression to the mean. And I look at a Florida team that I thought they were fortunate to get through that series. I didn't realize how fortunate until I read that article. And now I can't get that article out of my head because I'm thinking to myself, they got like two series worth of bounces there. They all came at once. You get it when you need it. They're glad to at least be in the finals. Are there any bounces left? And this is where Ben Chu, FDH Lounge dignitary, would berate me for saying one series has nothing to do with another, blah, 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 blah. I can't get that out of my head, though. I would have been tempted to say Florida in six, but instead I'm looking at it, and I think I'm going to say Vegas in six. It's the gray wallpaper team in the end. Florida's the flashy team coming in, Bob with the career resurgence, the best player in the series, Tkachuk, showing that he's one of the top five players in the league. Looks like a team of destiny, but I'm going the other way. I'm going with the boring option here. And as I said before, it's all the more funny to think of a team located in Las Vegas as being boring by comparison, but they kind of are. So the Knights get their trophy. It's going to be a Stanley Cup parade down the strip with the go-go girls shaking their asses, holding the cup. That's what I'm forecasting. How do you see it playing out, Russ?
Yeah, for one thing, like expected goals is nice, but again, I expect a lot of things, and many times it doesn't occur.
Yeah.
So all those things are great. High danger chances, all these things are great, but unless you put the biscuit in the basket, it just doesn't matter.
Okay.
Like it doesn't. It's nice for an article, but it doesn't matter.
Okay.
So I don't get held up on that.
Okay.
I don't get hung up on it. I'm looking at this series, and I think Vegas plays better ugly hockey. I see Jonathan Marchessault as potentially a better, a good Conn Smythe guy.
Yeah.
Because he scored big goals. Now, Carlson's got one more than him, and Eichel's got more points, but he has scored some big goals. So that's, you know, that's to me is a factor. So I look at all that. I look at the way their forwards kick in on defense. I look everything over, and I'm like, Vegas in six. That's really the way I feel. And the only thing that could screw it up is Aiden Hill. And I don't think he's going to do that, because I think that his team, I don't want to say they know that Aiden Hill is not like Logan Thompson, but I think his team does play a little differently in front of him. There is a certain amount of trust, but I also think they have forwards that play some great defense. Now, Florida has a couple, but Vegas has more. Vegas has like three or four. Florida's got like two.
Yeah.
And sometimes the forwards have to kick in, you know?
That's true. And in looking at this, it would have been my instinct to say if Vegas wins that it's probably Eichel to take the Conn Smythe, because I think they're going to need that kind of a performance from him. But I'm going to defer to you. I'm going to agree, Marchessault, as well, because I just see it in my mind's eye, right? Like a lot of times in life, it plays out this way. Like the guy in the final comes back to, you know, beat the team that cast him off to the expansion team. I mean, it kind of writes itself, right? So the writer in me says, I'm going to agree with that scenario. As you said, he's already had the kind of playoffs leading up to this to where it would be plausible for that to be the case. So both of us saying Vegas in six, both of us agreeing on the Conn Smythe. I don't think that's necessarily happened too many times we've done these where we've landed on the same place in both of those, but we do. And again, it is going to be a great final to watch. I will be looking forward to, as I say, one of our most beloved and decorated FDH Lounge guests, Kenny Albert, on the call. It'll be a very fun series.
I thought you were going to say me. Okay.
You're not a guest. You're a dignitary, buddy. You're in that. You're in the inner circle. You're beyond a mere guest. But very, very happy to have you out there in Vegas. I will be thinking of you and smiling as this goes along here. So enjoy covering it there, my friend. And this is going to be, I think they're going to give us a lot to talk about afterwards.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm really expecting a good cup here. I don't care about the hockey purists that don't like the warm weather markets. Tough luck.
Yeah, I don't really care about that either. I mean, that's not a big deal. I mean, it's going to matter to some people here, but, you know, not the guys like me and you. We're going to be watching it regardless. And those who aren't watching, hey, they're going to miss some great hockey. There's going to be some fun games.
They'll start watching. If this series goes past five, then everybody starts watching. That's kind of like the rule for Stanley Cup. Sometimes people won't tune in early on. But if they start seeing that there's some pretty good action here, and I think this will be physical, I think you'll get some looky-loos on this.
Well, not only that. I mean, I fully expect them to be the last men standing. As somebody where I went out on a little bit of a limb here for my NBA Finals preview, and I picked Denver in four. So if that's the case.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. They're taking the first two. You know that. There's like zero doubt whatsoever they're taking the first two.
I told people to bet the Heat, though, because I think the odds will be good.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I think they're at least 50-50 in game three. They're no worse than 50-50 to go in, because I didn't think there was any way they'd roll into L.A. and sweep them, and I was wrong.
Right.
I am not going to make that mistake twice, because I said Denver in six, and it ended up being Denver in four. If Miami doesn't win that game, I'm sorry. It's not going to be like a Denver is not going to roll over like the Celtics did and let the Heat take three straight
on. No, I mean, Jokic's a great player. He might not be Dan Issel, a kid. But, you know, Jokic's a great player. You never know. You know, Jimmy Butler is, like, he is volatile. Like, Matthew Tkachuk is volatile.
Yeah.
So you never know. If he starts getting crazy, he never can say never.
True. But I think they're probably going to be putting Aaron Gordon on him, and that's going to be a very, very difficult challenge with his length.
You know more than me. Trust me, I'm a novice with the NBA now. Yeah. Like, so I, you know.
Yeah, but that's my point being on this. If I'm right about the sweep, then you're going to have people hungry to watch something other than the constant stream of MLB that's available right now. So
they're not going to watch the Indians, that's for sure.
Well, sadly, they don't even exist under that name anymore. That's defunct. But
I'm sorry. I meant the Guardians. That's so funny.
Well, that's another sob story for another day. But as always, Russ Cohen, a real pleasure. Thank you so much. I look forward to catching up with you again after the final. And thank you, everybody, for checking out FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1622.